Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Ik heb helemaal te gek groot nieuws voor iedere trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Want vanaf 1 januari gaan we na onderhandelingen met RTL uitzenden van 8 tot 9 en van 9 tot 10. Dus vanaf 1 januari twee keer op zondagmorgen Hour of Power. Onder andere omdat heel veel mensen op zondagmorgen 9:15 naar de kerk moeten en Hour of Power niet kunnen zien. En ook omdat heel veel mensen graag wat vroeger ons programma bekijken. Dus we zijn ongelooflijk blij dat dat gaat gebeuren. Goed nieuws, dat geef je door, dus vertel het aan anderen. En dan gaan we zo meteen naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar Jason Illion zal vertellen over zijn passie. En bij Hour of Power Nederland hebben we als gast, en daar ben ik erg blij mee. En ik vind het ook een bijzonder interessante man, Johan Harbers. En hij bouwde de Ark van Noach na. En hij heeft daar van de zomer meegevaren over de Rijn en andere wateren. En hij gaat vertellen waarom hij die geweldige, grote en imponerende Ark bouwde. Want er zit een hele diepe bedoeling achter. Kortom, een hele boeiende uitzending van Hour of Power die mede bekeken wordt wereldwijd door 40 miljoen mensen. En dat verbindt ons met elkaar. We gaan nu naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
And welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. What a gorgeous day. It really is a beautiful day to be able to come together and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want to invite you right now to welcome those who are standing next to you and behind you. Reach out and give them a warm handshake and say, God loves you. And so do I. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of new beginnings. You're a God who touches hearts. You're a God who touches minds. You're a God who touches souls. And so in this hour, may we feel your touch, the touch of love. And so through that love, may we be inspired and motivated and uplifted to do and to be the persons you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and into an experience that can never perish, and into an inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith is shielded by God's power. Hear those words. Shielded by faith through God's power. In this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Though you have not seen God, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his special word and message to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. You're terrific. Don, you're the best. Thank you for your wonderful music. My guest today was a guest of the Hour of Power earlier this year. And he's focused on trying to make the Internet a safety place. And the author of a new book, My Space for Kids. The author of the book is Jason Illion, a true Renaissance man. How can that be when he's so young? He was, check this, All-American quarterback for Texas Christian University. He was captain of the team. He graduated magna cum laude. USA Today named him one of the top 20 students in the United States of America. Are you impressed? I am impressed.
You're too kind.
No, I'm not too kind. I'm just honest. These are the records. This is who you are. And, you know, I don't own a computer.
Well, we ought to start there.
You think so? Yeah, because I don't know what Internet is. I want to know, am I the only one without a computer?
Does anybody else not have a computer?
How many of you do not have a computer? Anybody else? Higher so I can see more than one. No, you see, I'm one of about...
Five,
10 in this audience. What's going on?
Well, you know...
I don't know what questions to ask you, see?
Well, we'll just start... Maybe I ought to ask the questions.
Yeah,
we'll start
from
there.
I think we'd get more reaction from you, but...
Well, actually, we're in similar shoes. I mean, the whole thing about having a relationship with Christ and Christianity is it's a relationship. It's a living, breathing, active relationship. It's not just a religion. And that's the thing about going online and having, you know, social networking or MySpace or Facebook is they're online communities where people build relationships. And that's why people are so drawn to it, is it's a chance to connect with people. And that's exactly what Jesus called us to do, is to go and make disciples of the nations. Go and build relationships with people.
Were you a Christian before all of these opportunities and honors came your way, or did you find the faith for the first time at college or after college?
Yeah, I found the faith in high school, actually. Okay. I was at an FCA football camp, and there were...
FCA, many people don't
know. Yeah, Fellowship of Christian Athletes football camp, and I was there what I thought was to play football. And they gave an award to somebody that exemplified the most Christ-like behavior at the end of the week, and kind of, to tell you where I was thinking, well, that must be me. And if you're thinking that, it's definitely not you. And they gave an award to a kid from a small school, and he came up to pray for us. And as he was praying, I realized he had something I didn't. And for the first time, it was something I couldn't earn or work for or study for or win. It was a real living relationship with our Savior. And from that point on, God's just been good. And all those awards are his. I just got a chance to enjoy them.
It's fantastic. What are you into now?
Well, right now I finished writing a book. I wrote a book called My Space, My Kids. And the book is here to educate parents more than anything. Your kid already knows how to use MySpace and the Internet. Unfortunately, you do not. And so I'm here to help educate parents on how to navigate online, how to build community, how to, you know, work with other parents and other adults, and more importantly, our kids. Because, you know, when we grew up, and even when I was growing up, we only had one computer for the whole school. Now I've seen preschoolers building their own web pages. And so we've got to learn how to use this communication tool to touch people all around the world. And it can be a great tool. So we're certainly writing that book, and I've also joined a group out of Dallas called GodTube. And GodTube is building a social network for Christians.
We had him with us here a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, our CEO, Chris.
MySpace. Tell us what MySpace is.
Okay. Well, for those of you who don't know what MySpace is, MySpace is a social network. It's a social community right now where over 200 million people are all online. And in the simplest form, it's simple web pages. It's web pages that you can put up that express your own beliefs, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your pictures. And kids all over the world and adults are surfing MySpace and creating pages. And it's a way for us, the network, to come together.
What are the any problems with MySpace?
Of course. I mean,
tell us.
You know, the Internet's grown so fast and the social networking sites have grown so fast. You've probably seen Dateline NBC or these other ones running about, you know, online predators or pornography or all these things. And guess what? They're real. They're real problems. They're real challenges online. Well, if anybody is set and, you know, armed to deal with these, it's Christians, because we have a sense of God in our life. And I was talking to one of my friends in Israel, and he talked about what they called the sin of the desert. And the sin of the desert is where you know where water is, but you don't tell anybody about it. Well, that's a lot how Christians are. We know who our Savior is, but so many times we don't tell people about this. Well, if all these people are online and all these people are lost, what better place is there for us to be to share our faith? And, you know, MySpace is a tool. Facebook is a tool. GodTube is a place for us to connect as believers. We'd certainly need to guard against pornography and sexual predators. And in my book, MySpace, My Kids, that's what I'm doing, is helping teach parents to do that. But more than that is use it as a way to connect, as a way to build relationships, and so we can share our faith.
What can we do to protect them?
Books like this and the education we're trying to have is to help parents decide, what are your rules? Like, keep the computer in an open space where you can monitor what your child's doing online. We talk about accountability all the time as Christians. Well, have accountability in your computer system. I'm 32 years old, and I have an accountability software program that any website that I see automatically sends an email to my friends that are my accountability partners to let them see anything that I've seen, so that they can hold me accountable to my faith. And as adults, we have to model this if we want our kids to live that same type of life.
You're a young man. You've got hopefully another 70 years ahead of you.
I hope so.
Quite realistic. It is today. What are your dreams and plans for you to do?
Right. Well, I mean, what God's always put in my heart is about bringing people to Him. It's about building authentic relationships. You know, it's easy for us to be the church inside of these four walls, and this is a beautiful place, but are you a Christian like that? Do you share that same love and faith and connect with them when you leave? And not just to do it on Sunday mornings, but to do it on Monday mornings when we hate going to work, and to do it on Wednesday nights and all those times. And if we can do this, and we can share it through the internet, through our movies, through television, we have a chance to impact the world and make a real legitimate change in the name of Christ. And that's what I care about. That's what I long for.
What was it that really turned you on to this issue?
I guess the biggest thing that I came about coming on to this issue was seeing, I've been speaking to teens and to parents for years, and just to see how lost we felt, how helpless we felt. And I have my first child on the way, and it's due in February. So I don't know if it's a boy or girl yet, so if you want, you can come to Dallas and help me paint the room. I still have to do that. That's beside the point. We can talk about that later. But
yeah, we won't.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you. But the really thing is I realized how powerful that relationship is with a son or daughter to his dad, and my relationship to our Father in heaven. And, you know, to understand how powerful that is. And if we can bring our parents and our kids closer together, this generation could do something special. And your church has sent a great foundation for that over the years. Now, how do we perpetuate that into the future? Mm. Be passionate about what you believe.
Yes.
We are living in a world that is so longing for somebody to stand up and share the truth with them.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be today in this room, but maybe it's this afternoon or tomorrow. You don't have to know all the answers, but just be authentic and real with those around you. And you will change lives. God has changed mine, and you will change theirs.
Thank you very,
You're
very
welcome,
much.
Sir.
God
it's
loves you.
Thank you. Sir.
En dat was Jason Illion. Wat krijg je toch ongelooflijk respect voor die kerel die zo met passie en vuur bezig is met de dingen die hem bezighouden en ons ook. Passie. Heel veel mensen hebben dat voor iets, een hobby of wat ook. En Johan Huip is een hele bijzondere man, want die heeft de Ark van Noach nagebouwd. Niet op ware grootte, want die was de grootte van twee voetbalvelden toen Noach de Ark bouwde, vele duizenden jaren geleden. Iedereen kent dat prachtige verhaal van Noach, die in gehoorzaamheid aan God zegt: ik bouw een ark en alle dieren van de wereld en de mensen gaan erin en overleven zo. En Johan, ja. Ik zie je nog varen hier,
ja.
Door de Rijn.
Weet je nog?
Ja, ja, ja.
Toen belde je me.
Ja. Ja. Prachtig, want hier vlakbij is een brug en daar kon hij nauwelijks net doorheen.
Ja. Schitterend, hè?
Ja, maar we gaan even terug naar het begin. Waarom ben je een ark gaan bouwen?
Zo graag van God willen vertellen. Dat deed ik al in de Alfa-cursus en ja, natuurlijk op mijn werk. Maar ik dacht, ja, je wil meer mensen te pakken nemen. En dan misschien een stadion afvuren. Of, nou, dan bid je God er ook voor. Geef me iets dat ik dan kan maken of kan doen. Wat veel mensen kan bereiken.
Dat je werkt met je handen. Je bent
klopt, ja, alleen maar. Ja. En toen op een nacht gedroomd, toen ik dat een gedeelte van Nederland onder water zou lopen. De volgende dag werk ik in een boekwinkel. Heb ik de Ark van Noach gekocht. Het boek van Rien Poortvliet met die mooie schilderij erin. En toen kwam ik op het idee om de Ark van Noach te gaan bouwen. Dat was in 1992, dat is al heel lang terug. En nu eindelijk is hij er.
Ja.
Geweldig.
Ik heb hem gezien. Het is alsof hij nog hier langs vaart. Een enorm gevaarte. Imposant om die Ark te zien varen met die grote giraf vooraan boord.
Ja.
Hoe zijn de reacties?
Geweldig.
Ja.
Er ligt ook een boek, daar kunnen de mensen commentaar leveren. Of er misschien verbeteringen toegepast kunnen worden. Maar iedereen is gewoon waanzinnig fantastisch. Ja. Iedereen vindt het mooi.
Een paar maanden geleden heb je in Rotterdam gelegen met de Ark. De Rotterdamse havendagen. Hoeveel mensen zijn daar geweest? Jongeren, ouderen?
Er zijn dus bijna 60.000 mensen aan boord geweest.
Fantastisch.
Ja.
Weet je dat ik, dat ik oprecht apentrots op je... Apen zaten toch ook in de Ark?
Ja, zeker.
Ja, okay. Dan ben ik echt apentrots op je. Want de bouwen van de Ark... genereerde meer publiciteit rond de Bijbel, rond de evangelie... dan iemand anders.
Ja.
Elke krant, journaal begon ermee, grote foto's. Zelfs de wereldpers kwam erop af. Uit alle delen van de wereld is het verfilmd. Blijf je daar zelf nuchter onder?
Ja, in opdracht van God. Ik geef God alle eer. God vraagt van jou en van mij en van iedereen of je beschikbaar bent. Hij vraagt niet of je geschikt bent. Want vaak word je gevraagd voor iets in een vereniging... of in de kerk plaats te nemen of wat dan ook. Dan zeg je, ja, maar dat kan ik helemaal niet. Nee, dat vraagt God niet van je. Hij vraagt niet of je geschikt bent, maar ben je beschikbaar. En ik heb me beschikbaar gesteld voor God om die Ark te bouwen. Ja.
En wat levert dat nou werkelijk op?
Ja, dat is zoveel voldoening. Het is net alsof je iedere dag jarig bent. Je loopt tussen honderden mensen die daar op die Ark zich maateloos fascineren. Van, wauw, wat is dat ding groot. En wat mooi en al die dieren en dat filmpje en... Dat is prachtig. En meneer, u hebt hem toch gebouwd? Ja. En waarom heeft u hem gebouwd? Nou, dat mag je vertellen. Ja. Van God. En dat de mensen een keuze moeten maken voor hem.
Daarom vind jij het zo belangrijk dat mensen echt kiezen, keuze maken?
Nou, je gaat op een dag gaan we allemaal dood. Die zekerheid hebben we. Ja. Voor de rest is er niet zeker in ons leven dan alleen dat we doodgaan. En dan, we komen voor God staan. En dan vraagt God, en? Wat heb je ervan gemaakt? Of hij zegt, ik heb je nooit gekend. En dat vind ik wel heel erg. Ja. Dus ik vind, we moeten die mensen, alle mensen moeten het gaan vertellen. En op een hele leuke manier. En zeker voor kinderen is dit fantastisch.
Ja. Ja. Je hebt nu de Ark gebouwd. Dat verhaal van de Ark van Noach komt in elke grote wereldreligie voor. En ook in de kleine religies, bijvoorbeeld ook de Indianen hebben dat in hun overleveringen. Dus dat toont wel aan dat het ook echt gebeurd is door zoveel overleveringen. Maar wat doet het jezelf, dat verhaal?
Het is zo definitief, hè? Dus al die mensen die niet mee waren, ze mochten er wel mee, maar ze weigerden. En zo definitief. Iedereen ging dood. Dus het is een zeer ernstig verhaal. En Jezus zegt ook, het zal wel zo zijn als in de tijd van Noach. Mensen zullen gewoon een potje van maken. En dat gebeurt ook gewoon hier in Nederland. Alles moet maar kunnen. Alles moet maar mogen. Ik denk ook wel eens dat we weer in die tijd van Noach leven. Zeg je dan dat Jezus al gauw terugkomt? Nou, dat kan nog 10 jaar duren, maar dat kan ook nog 20 jaar duren. Maar het kan ook morgen zijn. En daar moeten we gewoon klaar voor zijn. Op de dag dat hij terug zal komen, ja.
De vrijwilligers van Hour of Power hebben een uitstapje gemaakt. En dat was de Ark van Noach bekijken. En iedereen vond dat geweldig. En daar is ook de link mee, want je bent een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Ja.
Nou, dus in 1992 had ik dan die droom en dat boek van Rien Poortvliet. Vanaf die tijd, misschien wel eerder, keek ik dan 's morgens naar de Hour of Power. Mijn kinderen waren heel klein. Dan ging mijn vrouw naar de kerk en dan bleef ik thuis oppassen. En naar de Hour of Power. En oh, wauw, wat is dit zeg. Ja, je krijgt een boodschap mee. En hij motiveert je zo dat ja, je gelooft erin. Dat je samen met die God over een muur kan springen. Dat zegt dan Paulus. En dat heeft me ontzettend ondersteund.
Ja. Ja. De positieve
ja,
van...
Ja, en nog steeds iedere week. En dat vind ik gewoon geweldig.
Ja. Wat houdt voor jou geloven in God in?
Gewoon, het is fantastisch. Ik kan niet meer zonder God. Ja. Ik begin ook iedere dag 's morgens een klein stukje de Bijbel te lezen. Op je in te laten werken. Ik volg gewoon de Bijbel door. Niet stukje voor stukje. En dan bid je tot God en je vraagt ook een zegen om over die dag. En ik ben ook iedere dag zo dankbaar dat ik weer in gezondheid wakker mocht worden.
Ja. Nou leven we toe naar de dagen van kerst, ja. Volgende maand. Hoe kijk jij daarna uit?
Oh, we hebben een kerststal hebben we nu in de ark geplaatst. En dat is dan de grot waar Jezus in is begraven. Maar ook de stal waar hij in is geboren. Ja, dat is fascinerend. De drie koningen erbij. En er hangt een engel en die zweeft een klein beetje. Ja, kindje Jezus. Die redding bracht hier op aarde. Die gestorven is aan het kruis voor onze zonde. Die combinatie van hij kwam naar de aarde als mens. Hij heeft ons voorgeleefd hoe het moet. Nou, dat kunnen wij nooit, hè. Hem naleven. Maar toch moeten we iedere dag ons beste doen om dat wel te proberen. En naar onze naasten om te zien en van elkaar te houden.
Je bent zo'n enthousiasteling.
Ja, dat komt ook allemaal van God, denk ik.
Ja.
Absoluut.
Oké.
Ja, ik was 24 jaar oud. Dan durfde ik amper de telefoon op te nemen.
Ja?
En dan vraag je God daar de kracht voor om wat meer spraakzaam te zijn naar andere mensen toe. En je niet te schamen als je een gesprek wil beginnen met iemand. En dat heb ik...
Dat is in ieder geval helemaal geslaagd. Als er een waterval in de ark mee was genomen, dan hadden we naar jou vernoemd.
Ja.
Oké, Johan, ik wil je ongelooflijk hartelijk bedanken dat je hier vanmorgen was. Dit is een prachtig boek, God houdt van u en ik ook. Uitspraak van dominee Schuller, God loves you and so do I, zoals het elke zondag geworden is. En hier staat, omarm de liefde die alle eenzaamheid verdrijft. En ook jou geef ik graag, net als de gasten in de komende programma's, dit prachtige boek. En ik hoop dat je eruit zult lezen en van zult genieten. Geweldig als je een idee hebt en je brengt dat ook nog eens ten uitvoer, zoals Johan Harbers. En onze droom was jaren geleden om Hour of Power elke week op de televisie te kunnen laten zien. En die droom is uitgekomen en we hopen dat we dat nog heel, heel lang kunnen doen. Volgend jaar is het 8e jaar. We zijn volgend jaar 500 afleveringen verder sinds het begin. En de belangstelling voor Hour of Power is ongelooflijk groot. We hebben laatst met RTL gepraat en dankzij Ricardo van Amerongen, de directeur van RTL, waarmee we onderhandeld hebben en die een enorm gebaar heeft gedaan, is het mogelijk om vanaf 1 januari Hour of Power te zien. Niet alleen van 9 tot 10, maar ook nog eens van 8 tot 9. Heel veel mensen gaan naar de kerk om 9:30 en kunnen dan Hour of Power niet afkijken. En vandaar dat we denken dat we heel veel mensen genoegen doen met 2 keer Hour of Power op zondagmorgen. En daarom hebben we uw steun hard nodig. En we zouden het ongelooflijk fijn vinden als u donateur zou kunnen worden. Kijkt u naar de volgende spot en geeft u er gehoor aan.
God houdt van u. Dat is de centrale boodschap van Hour of Power. Voor vele duizenden kijkers is Hour of Power een wekelijks moment van rust, inspiratie en bemoediging. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power? Vindt u het belangrijk dat Hour of Power Gods liefde verkondigt? En wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs. Dus uw steun is hard nodig. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u dit boek. God houdt van u en ik ook. Omarm de liefde die alle eenzaamheid verdrijft. Dit is het nieuwste boek van dominee Schuller senior. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl. Of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank.
you, Maria. Thank you, everyone, for making that just an incredible, incredible piece. Last week, I started this three-part series talking about who we are and redefining who we are as a church and congregation. And it starts with knowing. The first word is know. The second word is love. And the third word is to serve. And so we are called to know God, to love people, and to serve the world. And as we experience and embrace these three words, we have to realize that you could actually put them in a graph because they all relate to each other. Without looking at this, I get mixed up. So let me show you how this works. You can know God, know people, and know the world. Or you can love God, love people, and love the world. And you can serve God, serve people, and serve the world. To know, to love, and to serve. The second word that I'm speaking on today is love. What better word is there in the world than love? What does the world need more today than love? A rabbi came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And here's the reason why I chose this. Of all the information in the entire Bible that deals with love, this is the reason why I chose these specific verses. And Jesus continued saying, "All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." That means, what he says, the law and the prophets, he means everything within this book, the Bible. The entire Bible, all 1,380 pages, all of them, boil down to these two verses, according to Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm in a Bible study, and we meet regularly, once a week. And currently, we go through different books and different studies. Currently, we're going through a book by John Piper. It's entitled, What Jesus Demands from the World. And John Piper is a noted author in the Christian circles and a very brilliant man. And he goes through, I think there's close to 50 chapters, 50 commands that Christ gives us. And he, of course, addresses these commands. And here's what he says about these commands. First of all, he gives a word picture to describe what this means. The word picture is the throne of God in heaven. And hanging onto on the arms of the throne of God are two chains that descend to earth. And upon these chains are all of the scrolls and all of the laws and all of the words contained within the Holy Scriptures that have ever been shared with us. And those two chains are these: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the other chain is, what is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two chains. Then he goes on, he says, all of creation and all of the work of redemption, including Christ as our Redeemer, and all of history hang on these two great purposes: that humans love God with all of their heart, and that from the overflow of that love, we love each other. It is the beginning and the end. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And I stop and I look in that scripture and I say, God, I'm guilty. I am guilty of not having the ability to love you with all of my soul, with all of my mind and with everything I am. I love you to the best of my ability, but I know it's not 100%. And that thought haunted me when I read these passages. Until I read another love passage that I want to share with you. It's from Matthew 5. It's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even tax collectors do that. Even the pagans do that. Instead, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And again, I said to myself, I am not perfect. It's impossible for me to be perfect. I will never be perfect. And if I can never be perfect, if I can never experience the full love of God with body, heart, and soul, and mind, and everything that I am, I am a sinner. And I suddenly realized how much I needed Jesus Christ. And I realized that Christ came to redeem the world, that he came to save me, and he came to save you, and he came to save anyone who'll call upon his name. So that we work and we strive and we aim and we do everything we can to be the best we can be, to love God as much as we can, and when we fail and wherever we fail, he comes along and he lifts us up. Opportunity for us to be able to share with the entire world the good news that Christ is alive today. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind. In the Second World War, there was a man who had been separated from his troops, a Marine. He was on a Pacific island, and he knew that the enemy was on his trail. So he did everything he could to conceal his path and found a cave to hide in hopes that he might make it through this desperate time. And it wasn't long and he heard the enemy coming. And he prayed. He prayed fervently, Lord, I put my hands in your hands. I pray that you'll save me and deliver me from this enemy, O Lord. And as he came out of this fervent prayer on his knees, tears flowing down his face, he looked up and he saw a spider. He thought to himself, a spider. Lord, you send me a spider. That's all I need now is a spider. And then he saw the spider suddenly sink from the top of the cave and swing to the side. And pretty soon he saw him crawl up there and swing to the other side of the cave. And then he crawled up there and he swung to another part and he began to knit this incredible web across the entrance to the cave. And it became thicker and thicker until he could see the light shining off of this web that the spider had made. And it wasn't long and the enemy came and saw the spider web and knew instantly that he wasn't in that cave. God answers prayers. As we commit ourselves as imperfect human beings, flawed in every way, to make it a goal, a dream, a hope, an aspiration to love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our mind, God answers our prayers. He redeems us. He saves us. Love the Lord your God with all of thy heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second. It's the next commandment that we have to realize and understand. To love others as God has loved us. when you talk about love, when we look through the Bible, we have to realize there's a couple different forms of love. It's an agape love. In Greek, there's actually three forms of love that is very clear. And in the English language, we have to kind of figure it out. For instance, I did a word search on love people. And do you know what came up? Some funny things. I'll tell you, some funny things came up when I did love people. One of the things that came up was a thing on children and their understanding of love. And every single definition that came up about what children thought love was about all had to do with relationships with other people, like husbands loving their wives and girlfriends and boyfriends and that kind of a thing. Well, those would be in the other forms of love as we would know it. In the Greek, I said there are three kinds of love. There's agape, there's phileo, and there's eros. Eros would be considered sexual love. Phileo would be considered friendship. And agape is rarely used in Greek except for in the New Testament. The New Testament's writings. Agape is above all other love. It is the love of God that flows through us to other people. And this love is one that transcends all of the loves. And this is the love that God commands us to have for our neighbors, for our enemies, for God Himself, and for ourselves. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In order to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to love ourselves. And how important is it for us to love ourselves? I think it's critically important. And I think the key to loving ourselves is really found in knowing God. In knowing that He loved us so much that He planned everything about us from the beginning of time. That God knew as He formed the heavens and the earth, He knew this very moment in history, in time, would take place. He knew that you would be sitting right where you are, just the way you are. In His incredible knowledge and realization, He knew what frustrations and challenges you would be facing this very moment as you sat here this very time. And knowing all of the sin that we have in this world, knowing all of the problems we have, knowing all the frustrations, knowing everything about our inner being, all of our families, all of our frustrations, guess what? He created the heavens and the earth anyway. That's amazing to me. Knowing everything, He still spoke. That's love. He did it because He loves you and He wants a family. He did it because you're significant and you have meaning to Him. He did it because He wants you to call to Him and to embrace Him and to love Him. You know, a man went to his oncologist. He was coming to grips with the fact that he didn't have much longer to live. And as he was talking to his oncologist, a Christian doctor, a wonderful man, he started asking him about life after death. And he said, you know, I'm just not sure what's going to happen when I get to the next chapter beyond this. I just don't know what's on the other side. And I'm afraid, as his doctor said, well, I don't know everything You know, I'm an oncologist. I was trained in oncology, and I don't know what's on the other side either. He said, well, if you don't know what's there, how can you feel secure and how can you feel safe and how can you not fear death and dying? And he said, all I know about the other side. And all of a sudden at that moment, you could hear scratching at his door. He said, just a minute. He could hear the scratching and he'd hear the sniffing and scratching. He goes, I think that's my dog, just a minute. And he opened it up, and there was his big lab. He came running in, and he started lapping him with licks, and the doctor's hugging his dog. And his wife had just picked the dog up at the vet's and brought him over to see him on her way home. And he was first time she'd taken the dog to see him at the office. And he was just thrilled to see his dog and just holding him and hugging him. Says, honey, I've got to go. What a pleasant surprise to see my dog. And this thought came into his mind. You know, this is the first time, turned to the gentleman there, goes, this is the first time my dog has ever been in this room. First time he's ever gone through that door. He had no idea what was going to be and what was going to be like when he walked through that door. The only thing he knew was that his master was in here. That's all he knew. He said, you know, I think going on to the next life is a bit like that. I don't know what's on the other side, but I know this much. My master is there. And he's going to love me and embrace me and take me in. Today, if you're feeling down and you're feeling like, I don't know if I can really make it through this challenge and problem and frustration that I face, I just want you to know that when the time comes and God calls you home, as he will, every single one of us on planet Earth will go home. And we will make it through that passageway. That one thing we do know is that our master is there with loving arms, a loving spirit, and a warm embrace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you answered prayers, that at this very moment you're continuing to call your children into your family. So, oh Lord, as you call us this very moment, we say yes to you. We say yes to following you, to loving you with all of our heart and soul and mind, and in our imperfection, calling upon your grace and your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. And now may the love of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Father, be with you, go with you, and fill you with unconditional love for all. And may you walk in His grace and His love forever. Amen.
Een prachtige prekenserie van dominee Schulle. Ken God, hou van mensen en dien je naasten. En vooral dat dien je naasten, daarover gaan we het volgende week hebben. Want wij leven op een eiland van luxe in een oceaan van ellende. En ik hoor altijd mensen zeggen, nou ja, jongens, als je wat doet voor je naasten, het is toch maar een druppel of een groeiende plaat. Maar dat is niet waar, want volgende week gaan we zien en horen hoe je kinderen in Kenia naar een beter bestaan kunt helpen via Compassion. Ik praat erover met Hans van der Lee. En daar ben ik geweldig enthousiast over wat we met z'n allen kunnen doen. En dan zijn er de kerstconcerten. Rotterdam en Apeldoorn zijn inmiddels uitverkocht. We verwachten 10.000 mensen die naar de kerstconcerten komen. Het wordt een geweldig feest met Daniel Rodriguez, met Excess, met een groot koor en orkest. We zien er allemaal naar uit. Nou, er zijn nog beperkkaarten te verkrijgen voor Drachten, Roermond, Leiden, noem maar op. En kijk op onze website voor meer informatie. En ik hoop heel veel van u te mogen verwelkomen op een van die prachtige concerten. Wat ons betreft, graag tot volgende week. En dan nog één mededeling en dan sluit ik echt af. Onze kwartaaluitgave is net uit. Een boeiend blad, vol met heel veel nieuws. Er staat ook alles in over de kerstconcerten. En die kun je gratis aanvragen. Er staat het hele verhaal in over de reis naar Israël. Een persoonlijk woord van dominee Schuller. Nou, noem maar op. Een kleurig blad en gratis te verkrijgen bij Hour of Power. En ik zou zeggen, meld je even aan. Dat was het. Voor deze zondag althans. Graag tot volgende week.
Hour of Power organiseert dit jaar 7 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld, waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van absolute topartiesten. De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez maakte vorig jaar grote indruk met zijn warme stemgeluid en treedt ook dit jaar op. Ook Jan Mulder, de bekende pianist, verleent zijn medewerking aan onze kerstconcerten. Hij leidt een geweldig orkest en een groot koor. Bovendien zal de meidengroep Excess optreden tijdens onze kerstconcerten, verspreid door het hele land. Het beloven 7 onvergetelijke avonden te worden die we graag met u willen beleven. Dinsdag 11 december zijn we in de Grote Kerk in Naarden. 13 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. En vrijdag 14 december zijn we in Apeldoorn. Zaterdag 15 december in Roermond. Maandag 17 december in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. 18 december de Battle in Drachten. En het slotconcert op woensdag 19 december in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 7:45. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588.